Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Located at the top of our page, the media tab. Click there and you'll see us right here live. Every conference that we had, amen, every ministry engagement that we had, everything is done right there, amen, during our media, if you click on our media tab page, amen. And then also if you want to contact us for praise, prayer requests, amen, learning more about us, what I want to invite us. If you wish to invite us to your engagements, amen, please go there to the Contact Us tab, fill in the instructions, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Glory to God. And we do ask that you would become a prayer partner and a vision partner and a financial supporter with this ministry. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, won't you? Amen. And we thank God and we glorify Him. Those are the announcements and the events that are coming up very soon. Please govern yourselves accordingly. We do want to see you. Amen. Glory to God. We give thanks and praise to Him, and we give thanks and praise to you. Amen. And we bless Him. And finally, if you please, our website as well, www.ctkr.org. You can find us on Facebook and, amen, Twitter, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Amen. That's everything for you. Now let us pray. And then after prayer, next voice you should hear is none other than our Apostle Christopher Allen McQueen. Amen. Father, we bless you and we glorify you. We thank you and praise you for all that you have done. God, we just give your name all honor and praise. We thank you for your protection, your power, and your strength. God, we thank you for the favor that you have blessed us with. Now we, your people, come before you, God, with hands uplifted, heads bowed, hearts open, prepared to receive. God, we ask that for forgiveness right now. We ask that you would wash us and cleanse us, purify our hearts, God, in the word on tonight. Purify our minds in the word on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, give us a clear message on today. Give us your heart, your mind concerning the things of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Even I'm asking God, lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done, what you're doing. Amen. We thank you for the word that's being delivered through our pastor. Anoint him, appoint him, give him fresh manna on high for us tonight. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. All right, people of God, I'm moving out the way now. Let us make room to receive none other than our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Let us receive him. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all. I'm so grateful that you have joined us tonight. I know that God has a word for you. Amen. And as we prepare to move forward in the things of God, let me just reiterate the announcement. Simply, we will be on this Friday. Amen. We'll be doing the the singles conference. Yeah, there's going to be some leadership leaders from single to being married. Amen. If we do this just right. Amen. Amen. And that'll be Friday and Saturday this week. And then we'll go ahead and be preparing for the holiday as we go forward. Amen. So we're looking forward to God doing some exciting things in our midst. And like I said, the most immediate will be the singles conference this Saturday and Sunday. Then we'll have a number of other things that will be going on. The next event to really look out for will be November 21st. We'll be transitioning from our Saturday morning 9:30 broadcast to a Saturday, to a Friday evening jam. I'm looking at messages and trying to talk at the same time. I always say walk and chew bubble gum, but I got to demonstrate it too. Amen. So we're looking forward to that. Amen. And Friday night jam will be a time where we come in and we change the atmosphere, make it conducive to miracles, signs, and wonders. Something that we have always done with our ministry, and we're going to continue on doing it because, brothers and sisters, it works. Amen. If what happens is a lot of times people don't know what to ask, and they ask questions concerning their problems or situations, and you just can't tell people, well, you know, Jesus is going to handle it, because the next question after that is, how is he going to handle it? Well, you just have faith. Okay, have faith in what? You see, so we can't just give blanket answers. We actually have to get into this and begin to deal with the answers, which is how do we move forward from, having issues, questions, concerns to those who have confidence, those who can answer questions, amen. We have to actually get in here and learn this, amen. And especially our Friday night, we deal with Friday night jam. It's Jesus and Me Ministry. It's not necessarily a time where the young people come together, amen. It's the time when those who are worshipers and praisers and those who are young in Christ, no matter your age, amen, you learn how to come in here and connect, amen, to the Spirit of God, and your praise and your worship becomes active, amen. And that's what this is about. And as we begin to do that, then we begin to see that no matter, like I said, your age, we got some people who all their lives they'll live what they wanted to live, and the Lord touched them, and now here they are, past their midlife crisis, if you will, finding the Lord and finding a new purpose in their life. Amen. This is not a time for us to sit them on the side and just tell them, well, you know, you missed all your opportune, you know, moments. You lucky you made it. No. God brought them in at this time, and there's some people that they need to bring in as well. Amen. So we want to look at that. We want to go forward and let you know that this is the time that God has given us to really build the body. Amen. Now, I want to look here in the Word. We have been dealing with Matthew, amen, the fourth chapter. We went over to Luke, amen. And I want to show you some things here, amen. Amen. Matthew 4:23, just something real simple. Amen. As you all know, we like to minister in series. It's important for us to do so because sometimes the truth that we get, if we just hear it one time, it does not settle on the inside of you. And it is through hearing the word over and then hearing it again, over and hearing it again, that it begins to settle in your heart and in your mind. Amen. It is through that repetition. Amen. How can they hear except they have a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Well, if you're going to be preaching, you shouldn't be having all these extra type of messages that come out that don't preach Christ. Amen. Your purpose for preaching and your topic always should be Christ. Amen. Now, how to get man from his sinful place into the presence of a forgiving God who's provided for himself a sacrifice, Jesus Christ. His blood, amen, has washed us from all sins. And that is the message all the time. Amen. Now, we could look at different aspects of life and living, but after you finish doing all of that, it should bring you right back full circle to Christ. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I listen to some of these witty, texts that people come up with. This Friday, if you are here, you'll probably hear a witty one. I'll tell you what it is. Dealing with the Successfully Singles Conference, the text I'm going to take is, are you a trick or are you the treat? Okay. And you have to wait to hear where I'm coming from and how that's going to pan out on Friday. Amen. But there's too many things that we hear that often are like that have nothing to do with Christ. And I will tell you that Jesus Christ is the tree. Amen? Huh? So we have to make sure that we know that. And let's go here in this word, because I want to show you some things here. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee to Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Now, we started here, and we began to deal with the fact that Jesus' message when he came was not, look at me, I have arrived, amen. His message was concerning the kingdom, amen. And if we're going to be the children of God, then our message has to not be self-centered, but it has to be kingdom-centered, amen? So you can't be Christ Christian, amen, and then turn around and do things opposite of what he did, amen? Thank God for the blood. Thank God for his redeeming power, amen? We're not going to be perfect all the time, amen? But that doesn't mean that we make excuse for bad behavior, amen? Too many people are trying to look at who I am and show people how I came about and what happened when I showed up and he gave me this little revelation here and that set me on a different level than everybody else, and y'all need to get with me because I'm going somewhere. I don't care. You know, you can hate on me and all that. Okay, stop talking about your haters and all the rest of that. After all is said and done, Jesus had haters. You, if you're a Christian and you preaching this gospel, thank God you just like him. He had people lying on him. Don't be upset talking about you putting them under your feet. They lied on Jesus, amen? Huh? They talked about him. They ran him down. He came in to do good, and they turned to it and tried to make it evil, amen? Don't think that everything that they're doing to you is something that is brand new and it never happened before. It happened to Jesus. And if it happened to him, it's going to happen to us. But the thing that we have to understand and we have to take to heart is that even what happened, Jesus never changed his message. He preached from the very beginning, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was preaching the kingdom of God. All throughout what he was doing here, he kept going into the kingdom of life. And what should I like in the kingdom of God to? And what shall I show you that will help you to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like? See, everything about Jesus was about the kingdom. You see that? See, our messages have been about any and everything else. We want people to see us instead of seeing him. Let us do something. Let somebody give you a grant or something, and let you come into a little bit of money or something. Somebody name a street after you, and you sit there trying to look pious while they name it after you. And you walk down there, people talk about that street named after you. Yeah, yeah, God is good. God is good. Wait a minute, hold on. Oh, the street being named after you didn't bring nobody into the kingdom. It just talked about your personal accomplishment. And sometimes if we're not careful, our personal endeavors, amen, and accomplishments will get in the way of the gospel. I'm not telling you to do nothing. I'm telling you while you're doing something, remember the purpose, huh, behind what you do. Keep your focus on Christ. Amen. And when you do that, then you'll be like Jesus. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Now, the gospel of the kingdom cannot just be preached. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom has to be demonstrated. Look at your neighbor and say, this gospel has to be demonstrated.
This gospel has to be demonstrated.
Oh, God, help us. The gospel must be demonstrated because people need to see the gospel. Amen? And that's the problem, is that they're not seeing the gospel. Amen? What is the gospel in the first place? It is the good news. Look at your neighbor and say, it's the good news. Come on, say it again. It's the good news. And when you don't know that that's the good news, then you'll try to create a news. Creating a news thing. You want to be newsworthy. Well, let me tell you, good news don't travel fast often, but let something bad happen and the world will know it. I have a saying, and that is that things happen, amen. Things happen all the way around, and people look all the way around, amen. But they look at what's going on wrong all the way around. You can be over here doing the best in the world, and every once in a while, they'll bring you up just so they can have a little good humanitarian, you know, focus at the end of their terrible, dismal broadcast. From the very beginning of the news, huh? The message is bad. Amen? They talk about all kind of stuff. They run from pillar to post telling you who killed who jumped on who got ran over and how this happened. And we're looking at this, and, you know, the police have been called, and the National Guard has been mobilized. And after you get done hearing all of that, then at the very end of the news for about 40 seconds, hey, we got a good story for you. We got somebody over here who's feeding dogs. You know, wait a minute, hold on. You got to understand that news is not always good, huh? And bad news travels faster than good news. Prophetess, tell me this. Isn't it true that when people begin to testify, they always start off a lot of time with what the devil did?
That's right.
We've been conditioned to talk about the bad. And then try to end up with the good. Oh, God, he saved me. It was, the devil called him over there. I said, Lord, why you going to have this man come over here? And I said, this ain't the Lord. This ain't nothing but the devil. But Jesus. Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. Hold on. See, we talk about this preaching of the good news. And everybody, you got to understand, the gospel is good news, amen? And this good news is that Jesus has come and died for your sins, amen? He has taken care of the problem. Now you have to let him take care of the problem, amen? Because when you don't let him take care of the problem, a couple of things happen here. First of all, you have to find a new resource. And you can't get a better source than the source. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is the source. Huh? And if he's the source, then that means he takes care of everything. Amen? Second thing is, if you don't accept this good news, then that means you got to find something else to report on. I'm doing a degree right now in digital television, digital media production, amen. And in my electronic writing for electronic media course, we go through and begin to look at a number of different things as far as what needs to go into the actual script that is written. And that script that is written, there are certain catchwords or keywords that you have to put in that keeps your attention on what's being said. If I'm talking about something and I don't put in, you know, a few adjectives every once in a while and sensationalize it, you will lose interest in what I'm saying. Amen? See, so good news, the good news that we use, amen, the sensationalism that we use is look at what God has done. Miracle signs and wonders occur because we need it, number one. But number two, because it gives us something to testify about. Amen. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, good news, and the word of our testimony. What has God done that we have progressed through in our test? Amen. So we then begin to talk about how good he is. We begin to talk about the healing in our body. We begin to talk about the miracles. We begin to talk about the signs, the wonders. We begin to talk about the healings. We begin to talk about the demons that were subject, even at the name of Jesus. See, you have to understand that these miracles and things that are happening will happen because we need something to talk about. Look at your neighbor and say, the good news. Come on, say it again, the good news. Without having good news, then you're left up here to make up something as you're going along. Brothers, sisters, we got too many people making up stuff as they go along because they have failed to understand and appreciate the power of the good news. Amen? Look at what he did here. The Bible says here, it says that Jesus, he traveled. He went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And look at this, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Amen? Huh? He healed sickness in the body or in the mind, disease in the body. We're talking about Ebola and all kind of other stuff now. And I want you to know that Ebola and all of that still have to bow down to Jesus. Amen? Don't think for one minute that Ebola is going to come on the scene and it's going to have a great impact where the church and the power of God is going to be challenged beyond its ability and capabilities. Brothers and sisters, if God can heal AIDS, if the blood of Jesus can cleanse us, if the power of God can heal, can clear and heal AIDS and HIV, don't think Ebola is going to show up and trump God. It's not going to happen. Amen? But you have to know the good news. You have to know the power of the kingdom of God. You have to know the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. Look what it says here over in Mark 1 and 34. It says, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. You see that? And did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil should know who you are. Oh, y'all afraid he know who you are because, no. See, understand this. Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? He needs to know who you are. Your authority, amen, in using the name of Jesus means that you know him. Amen? Huh? So if you know him, then there shouldn't be nothing about you, huh, that is not covered under the blood. And let me say this. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I got to put my shoes on, lace them up. Amen. I got to put my shirt on one sleeve at a time and everything else, huh? And when we look at it, then we have to understand that if I got to do that just like you, then just like you are challenged in your flesh, I am challenged in mine. Thank God my successes are as bad, amen, as my failures. Or my failures aren't as bad as my successes, amen. Huh? You have to understand that God has done something for me. When I first got saved, I was messing up all the time. That's why I tell people when they first get saved, stop trying to be perfect and just learn how to be. A baby being born is not going to keep all the milk down when it drinks it. Huh? Anybody who's fed a baby, sit there and watch the baby down the bottle, and then you burp it and all that milk start coming up. That means that this word that goes inside of you, sometimes it's going to get inside of you, but sometimes it ain't going to stay there, amen? So our job is not to talk about you don't want the milk, but our job as spiritual parents is to clean you up. Because everybody who's had a child know that when that milk gets down in the creases and the folds of that neck, if you don't get that out of there, that baby will start smelling. Amen. While we're talking about smelling, let's talk about the fact that you didn't make it to the bathroom all the time. That's why you had Pampers and Huggies and all kind of diapers when you were younger. Amen. A baby. You made some messes that you couldn't clean up. Oh, yeah. See, we try to be perfect, but we can't be perfect. Just like an infant needs the parents to take care of it, you need spiritual parents that will care for you. Huh? Isn't it interesting that we go through life from wearing diapers as a baby, and some of us have found as you get older, you might go right back to diapers. I'm not going to preach on that right now. But, you know, the thing is that some of y'all, just because you're older, don't think that you pass wearing diapers. Sometimes in your life, you're going to have a mess that you can't handle yourself. You need some help. See, this gospel that we're talking about right here, all manner of sickness and disease among the people deals with the fact that we all have proclivities. We have a propensity to do this and that and the other a certain way. If it hadn't been for the Lord coming in and clearing his throat and giving us another chance, some of us would not have been here now. How many of you know that you probably wouldn't be here right now? He would have just, you know, it was a wrap a long time ago. Huh? And when every time you get down the road and you start looking, God reminds you, you know, hey, don't get too ahead of yourself. It wasn't too long ago. You know, see, he forgets and forgives. Huh? But because he's not a God of bound by time, we think that he, once it's forgiven, he ain't going to see it no more because it's in my past. No, it's in your past. Amen? See, because if you step out from under the blood, everything that the blood covered is now revealed. So I have to tell him, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Because sometimes maybe I don't see something right. Maybe sometimes my mind just, you know, sometimes somebody do something and I'm sitting there thinking and Chris will show up, amen? And I have to remind Chris that it's a possible queen, amen? And you can't, you just can't allow your, see, I'm leery of people who can put their Christianity down. Ooh, I had set my Jesus down for just a minute and let them, wait a minute, I'm scared of you. Amen, because this thing should be so ingrained inside of you that you're inseparable from him. Why is the gospel not being preached? Why is the good news hindered and hampered? It's because all those other things that we have found to preach and deal with have nothing to do with good. Think of this. 24th verse, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. Notice that word, torments. You see that? Because some things in your life, when you have insecurities, when you have all kind of other issues, you're introvert. You're always concerned about who's saying what and how it's going, and you're always worried about somebody talking about you. And, you know, you ain't never been the first one that they picked when they was picking teams, and you wasn't always the one. You know, sometimes you just had to get put on that team because didn't nobody really want you. It was a forced acceptance. Yeah, that sort of messed with yourself, self-esteem, thank you, huh? So your self-esteem ain't where it needs to be, and here you are saved now. God tells you stand in front of everybody and talk to them about him, and you're like, So you just back off. He understand. No, he didn't understand. That's why he called you, amen? And because you're not doing what God told you to do, you're not settled in your mind. Torment. Dis-ease. Y'all see it? How do you get rid of a torment or dis-ease? You get into a place where you are comforted. The opposite of being tormented is being comforted. Now, what comforts you? Well, the politically correct answer in the church is Jesus. But if you don't understand how he comforts you, then you'll say it, but you won't walk after it. And if you don't walk after it, they can't do nothing for you. All right, look at this. They brought to him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. Okay? Disease and torments. And those who were demon-possessed. See, when you're out of the will of God, then it gives Satan legal right to come over and torment you. Let me let that settle for a minute. Because some people really clearly feel that they can do whatever they want. I'm grown. I pay taxes. I do what I need to do. I show up. I pay my bills. You got all that going, and it looks good on paper, but then it comes down to your obedience to God, and we find you lacking. So the enemy then says, I know that you're supposed to be running us from pillar to post, and because you don't know who you are, because your flesh is speaking louder than his voice, I now have right to come over here and afflict you. Lord, how come it's so hard? Because you won't say yes. See, I didn't understand when I was younger and saved, newly saved, why they used to tell us, tell the Lord yes. Tell him yes. Come on, tell the Lord yes. I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me. Why are we saying yes? Why are we saying yes? I told him yes already. I already told him yes. Stop asking me to tell the Lord yes. I said yes. Wait a minute, hold on. That yes didn't get on the inside. And those of you who have ever tarried, amen, I can't do the old way. Can I just talk about me for a minute? I came through the old way, amen. And you didn't just tell the Lord yes. You said yes until you felt that yes. You said yes until that yes testified that it was a yes. You understand what I'm saying? You cried out yes until you was hoarse. You was sitting there, yeah. You ain't have no more voice, and you was still trying to say, yeah. There was nothing left, but you felt it all in your belly. You felt it all in your soul. It was something that went down into your spirit. You didn't just say yes to say yes. You understood every time you said yes what that yes was. It was spoken, and then it was reaffirmed, and then it was reaffirmed, and then it was reaffirmed, and then it was confirmed, and then it was confirmed again, and then it was confirmed until it became firm. I ain't moving from this. It is what it is. Yes means yes. My yes ain't changed from yesterday to today. Tomorrow, my yes is going to be the same. See, when we got to those places, it was a journey from just saying it to knowing it. Now we have people who don't want to go through that. We ain't got Terry no more. You know, if thou wilt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's grace. I believe in my heart. Yeah, okay, well, if you believe in your heart, then demonstrate it by going through the yes. See, the yes is the process you're going through. That means when you come to the first obstacle, you don't get a maybe in your spirit. You get another step in you because your yes makes you step forward, step through, step over, step around, go through it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, yo, yes, will prove itself. See, Lord, I wish I could preach just like I wanted to. Those who were demon-possessed, all the people who are afflicted and tormented, some people have not come in to the body of Christ. So they have the ability now to be possessed, not by the Holy Spirit, but by a demonic force. We don't deal with spiritual warfare anymore. People have gone away from it because it's becoming taboo to talk about hell. They don't want to hear about no brimstone. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is sin. Ah, stop. We don't want to hear about hell. Tell me about the grace of God. The grace of God is that he's keeping you from hell and fire and brimstone. Amen. There is a place worse than hell. It's called the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. Amen. So you don't want to go up in there. Huh? You try to get us to stop talking about hell as if there's, you know, that's just something they said to scare us at night. We got to say, I'm saved already. Why I got to hear about hell? Because if you don't understand that hellfire is real, you'll get saved in theory. But in actuality, how you're living, you'll be a sinner. See, this isn't something where we just say it out of our mouth. It's a lifestyle that we live. Christian means that I follow after the precepts and the example of Christ. How can you be like Christ and you fighting everything? And Jesus said, turn the other cheek. See, we don't want to preach that scripture because I was going to give an offering until he said all day. He's telling me that what they doing to me, I just got to take it. I'm telling you that if you go on through and you ain't praying the right prayer, it's going to continue. But your job is to persist. Paul said, you have not persisted unto blood. You have not persisted unto death. See, too many of us are sitting back trying to find the easy way through this, as if you're going to go pay some money and somebody's going to give you, you know, the cheat codes to life and salvation. Brother, sister, there are no cheat codes. The only cheat code you get is Jesus. He's the one who allows you to get over what you should have gotten, huh? He's the one who empowers you to do what you need to do. The Holy Spirit works, huh, according to the will of the Father. Huh? He prayed concerning his will. Let me go here right quick. Those who were demon-possessed, epileptic, and paralytic, and he healed them. Now, the beautiful thing about this healing right here is that regardless of where you are, dis-ease or disease, sick, tormented, demon-possessed, epileptic, paralytic. Now, let me talk about the epileptic right quick, okay? Because the epileptic is one who has seizures. Okay? Now, the seizures come upon them unannounced. They could be doing anything and go into a seizure. See, we're learning about seizures now because our medicine and medical practices and knowledge has grown, but a seizure is still not something that they have been able to predict is coming. My mother, for years, has been suffering many seizures and strokes, and we didn't know what was the matter. They diagnosed her with sundowners, a form of autism, amen, Alzheimer's, that's what it is. And as they were going through looking, they were trying to figure out what was happening with her. And someone just happened to check her for it and found out that she didn't just have a mini stroke or a mini seizure. She had been having them, and the evidence was there in her blood and in her body that she had been having them for years. See, they had treated everything else from the blood pressure and the diabetes and all the rest of that, but they didn't know to check for that. In Jesus' time, they would have looked at her and thought that she was probably off or something because they wouldn't have known what to do with her. Now, let's bring this on back in here and let's deal with what an epileptic fit does. It is something that comes upon you that causes you to fall out and lose control of everything. Okay, now. Stay with me here, huh? Every once in a while, you lose control of yourself. Sounds like somebody who has not surrendered completely to God. Every once in a while, your flesh will rise up and you get the can't help it. I don't know how I did it. How did I end up here? Something just happened. Look at your neighbor and say, that's epileptic. In your right mind, you know that that's not a place to fall out. But yet and still, you find yourself falling. Look at the demoniac boy. When Jesus came down off of the mountain. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down off the mountain of transfiguration, gets down there with Peter, James, and John. And as they're coming in, there's this man with his boy having there's a commotion going on with the rest of the disciples. And Jesus said, what's going on here? And he said, I brought my son here so that they could cast the demon out, and they could not. He started talking to the father and found out that the boy had been having epileptic seizures. Why? He was demon-possessed. How long has this been happening since he was young? He cast him out. First thing that demon did was cast him down on the ground and rended him. The Bible says that it came out after it got done with him. Some things you don't want to get involved with because after it gets done with you, it's going to try to rip you to shreds before it releases you. Epileptic. That's a serious revelation right there. Because you've been thinking about it, and you're talking about you in your right mind, yet and still you're demonstrating spiritual seizures. It seizes your common sense. It seizes your ability to think properly. You see that? Because a seizure causes you not to be able to, and there you go. Your legs don't work. Your faculties seize up. They stop working. Your spiritual walk stop working. Okay, let me go on to the next one. And paralytic. That means that something in you has not just stopped functioning. It has become a stagnant. Legs don't work anymore. Arms don't work. Things about you don't work. You remember the Bible talking about the man who was laying by the pool. He was a paralytic. Huh? Every once in a while, the angel would come down once a year, stir the water. First one got in, got healed. Y'all remember? See, you have to understand, when you cease to move, your muscles develop atrophy. That means they lose their ability to function in their normal range of motion, which is why when you get hurt, the first thing that they do in therapy is make you move. When you have surgery, the first thing they do is make you move whatever you just had surgery on, because they know to sit still will cause you paralysis. See, spiritually, you've been hurt, and we push you right back up to keep moving. But I don't know. Maybe I just need to. No, you don't need to sit down. That's the problem. You were sitting down when you should have been standing up. So now we're going to have to learn how to stand. Come on up here and do what God called you to do. Come on over there and serve like you're supposed to serve. But I just feel so. Stop feeling bad for yourself, huh? Because while you're sitting there feeling bad for yourself, you're not moving your spiritual muscles. And I need you to learn how to repair or how to heal from this. Sickness, torment, demon possession, epilepsy, paralysis. Look what he says, and he healed them, which means that there's nothing that can happen in your life that God is unable to deal with. There is nothing that happened to you or that's occurred with you that he's unable or he's powerless to deal with. Everything that's happened to you, he can handle. Look at this, 25th verse. Great multitudes follow him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. In other words, when he starts moving, people will take note of it. Amen? And when they take note of it, then they'll start following him too. I'm looking for people who are not trying to be perfect. I'm looking for people who recognize and realize that, you know, you've done some things in your life, and I'm going to hold up my hand and say, me too. I'm not perfect. I have not been perfect. Amen. When I was young, I got wide open and crazy. Amen. Thank God he didn't take me out then. Every once in a while, I remember that I was young and wide open and crazy. I have to remember that, you know, got saved and got kept and got healed and got delivered. See, just because you got saved don't mean that you lost feeling for worldly things. You can hold your breath, but you're going to definitely need deliverance at some point. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not walking around sinning. No. I just realized that there are some things that I've been saved from. I can't go back to. Don't have a desire to. Amen. And I think that's the part and the point that we need to look at is that God saved us and we need to do what we need to do. Brothers and sisters, this kingdom of God that we're preaching about has to be preached. We have to preach it. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to preach it. See, we were created for this. And it is that creation, amen, being created for it that keeps us focused on the task at hand, which is preaching Jesus Christ, him crucified. The good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that once you get saved, you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You now have rights as citizens of the kingdom of God. Huh? So now you can stand up in the authority of the kingdom and decree and declare some things. But if you don't know who you are, you'll be a pauper in the kingdom instead of standing up and being a son in the air. Huh? Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sin. Maybe you don't know, you know, anything that we're talking about. You say, but I want to know about this Jesus you're talking about. Listen, pray this prayer with me. Bow your heads and say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing ministry. Lord, if they're in this Cocoa area, if they're in this Central Florida, this Brevard County area, I pray that you bring them here, Lord. Allow us, Lord, to help them to develop and mature. Help us to go teach them how to move on and do the things you call them to do. We pray right now for the sick and the shut-in. We pray for those who are going through bereavement right now. Give them comfort, Lord. Give them relief in the name of Jesus. We pray for miracles, signs, and wonders to occur, for deliverances to manifest in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it now. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we decree and declare that it is done. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel around the world. Remember, this Friday and Saturday, we will be doing our single conference, Successfully Single, and we invite you to come here, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, and join us. Service will start at 7 o'clock each night, and we're looking forward to having a high time in the Lord. And then come back and join us on Saturday at 9:30 and Sunday at 8:30 for the Kingdom Lifestyle, or for the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries worship experience. We're looking forward to serving and sharing and fellowshipping with you. This is a day that God has made. We're going to continue to rejoice in it, and we want you to rejoice with us. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to remind you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.